And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome any visitors that we have here, any moms. I know, Tom, you've got a part of your brood here with you today. Welcome. And maybe just give them all a welcome applause here. Thank you for all of you here that are visiting. Amen. I would like to talk today, a little late, but we'll make it as crisp as we can here, about the virtues of womanhood. I know I'm supposed to talk about moms, and we've had a couple messages already about our wonderful moms. And in this place, I have seen beauty like I've never seen before. And not on the exterior am I referring to, but on the inside. And we have some beautiful, beautiful women in this church. And that's why I would like to speak to the virtues of womanhood. There are many lessons in my message today, not only for women, but for us guys as well. A lot of the ideas go both ways. So I'm not just speaking to the women alone. I know typically on Mother's Day, the guys just kind of put the earplugs in and go to sleep, but not today. Before I get going, by way of introduction, I'd like to speak to all the women, and I would like to thank you for being who you are. In this day and age, in the complexity of our society, with gender and equality in the forefront, there is a raging debate about equal pay, about power, about wealth. And in Europe, in the Orient, and around the world, there are many women today that have risen to the top of major companies, CEOs and the like. And around the world, there are also places where women are commanded to walk two steps behind and to the left of their man. Some places they are not allowed in education. In some places they are not allowed to show their face. And here in this country, women are kind of allowed to show it all sometimes. But in America, glamour is kind of held up in high esteem, and it is pointed to as being one of a woman's greatest virtues. We're going to talk today about virtue, and maybe not so much the kind that comes cosmetically or in a tanning booth or through a new fad diet. We're going to talk about a different kind of beauty, a beauty that women have inside. Here in America, women are expected to take care of the home. As Phil so succinctly pointed out with that little expose on a woman's evening, probably about 45 minutes worth, I bet. But they are expected to train and rear children, put meals on the table, do the laundry, know everyone's schedule, drop everyone off, pick everyone up, know where they need to be, hold down a job, be cheerful and energetic. Did I get it all? Did I miss it? All right. So women, who are you really? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we seek some answers and some insight into this amazing question. Father God, I do come to you in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. And I lift my brothers and sisters up in the sanctuary to you, Father God, and I just pray, Father, for your favor to rest upon us all. I ask that you may anoint the words that are to be spoken, the hearts that will be receptive, Father God, and I just pray that we will all be challenged this day. Lord, I just want to state openly that we love you and we praise you and we all look to have more of you in our lives. We love you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. My words today come primarily from the book of Proverbs. Typically, this day, all across America, pastors are preaching from chapter 31. And it is in the second half of that amazing chapter that we find the description of a superwoman, an amazing woman who can do it all. Now, before anyone starts to think, here we go again, these are all attributes that are found in godly women and not attributes that every godly woman should have. So, Beth, if we could start out with Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 rather, 9 and 10 in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Yes. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth or value is far above rubies. I would like to start out by saying today, Women, you have value. You all have value that goes far beyond the cosmetic case. Our culture has set up parameters or expectations, if you will, for women in different circles and in different value systems where there are subtle traps that can leave women lonely, confused, and disenchanted over the prospect of life itself. For starters, it begins with the toys that we give our young girls, voluptuous Barbie dolls. You've all seen them. You probably all give them to your girls, haven't you? In hopes that they would play and dress them up. And these beautiful little dolls with hourglass figures set subliminal images in the minds of our girls that grow up to be young women, that grow up to be mothers, that constantly are trying to fit into the mold that they have been subscribed to since they were tiny. There's a song written by Christian artists. It's on the radio right now. And it really has some profound lyrics. And I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but the singer goes on to start out talking to a young girl and goes on to talk to a teenager, goes to talk to a young woman. And in every chorus, the words are the same, that there could never be a more beautiful you. There could never be a more beautiful you, despite the makeup, despite the hairstyle, despite the dress. There could never be a more beautiful you than what God has made you to be right now. Amen. Others will use provocative dress to attract attention to themselves, to find a mate, to find a promotion, to find success, to find happiness. I've already been preaching for an hour in the other room here before I came here. Throat's kind of dry. And some of those songs you just cannot resist. You got to sing them with gusto. So, wow, my throat's dry. But a woman's value in God's eyes does not rest in how attractive you are. It doesn't matter how good you look, the kind of clothing you wear, the kind of shoe styles, the kind of handbags you carry. Although all that is good stuff. And I'm not disdaining any of that. You guys deserve to look as good as you can. God has made you beautiful. You go for it. But your beauty down here is not hinged on your ability to attract attention to yourself. The woman in Proverbs 31 never has any reference made to the beauty that she has on the external. All of her attractiveness comes entirely from her character. And this lies, and therein lies her greatest value, the beauty that resides on the inside. You are industrious. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 9, 13, 19, 24, and 27. You are industrious. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She makes linen, garments, and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, this sounds like we're talking about 20 women, a platoon full. How could anybody do all that? But do you see, in some areas of society today, we think that our women should be meek and demure and domestic, stay at home, cook the meals, keep the hearth warm, keep the house clean. Don't go to college. Don't venture out. Don't take chances. Don't go on the internet. Baloney. We are talking about a major CEO type here that is on her way up the corporate ladder. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take chances. Do not be afraid to dream. Do not be afraid to go to school. Do not be afraid to go up the ladder of success. God has made you special. You are endowed with wisdom. You are endowed with God's grace. And you've been given one of the hardest jobs on the face of the planet. We've got a lesson, bear some quick references. And God put it in nature. And I just want to share it with you for a couple moments. maybe you can say, I get with that. Maybe you can subscribe to the ideas and the analogy I'm about to present, but it's an amazing lesson that God gives us in nature. And for centuries, while men were studying the complexities of the honeybee and looking into the hive with sometimes in the middle of summer up to 80,000 bees, they realized that it was one key figure that made the whole hive work. And men said, it's got to be the king bee. Right? Well, now that we're a little bit smarter, and we know that in the middle of summer there's 80,000 bees in there that need guidance and direction, we know that there's no man on the planet that can multitask and keep track of all that and keep the lid on. So we now know it's a queen bee. She is the one that calls the shots. She is the one that makes it all work. The hive is comprised of, like I said, about 80,000 bees midsummer. 99.9% of them are all guys? No, females. They're the worker bees. And they create comb out of the wax they produce themselves. They clean the hive, take care of the young, raise the brood, gather the food, store the food, cool the hive, warm the hive, gather the water. The girls guard the hive, groom each other, and perform an amazing dance to communicate direction and distance to find pollen, nectar, and water. Kind of sounds like what you said earlier, huh? All girls, huh? God knew what he was doing. There are just a handful of males in the hive. They're called drones. And what do? Not much. They eat honey. A couple of them will get a chance to fertilize the queen. Maybe they got some lazy boys chairs tucked in there somewhere that I haven't seen yet, but the girls got it all figured out. Because later on in the fall, when things slow down and they start taking count of all the food that they have to make it through the winter, you know what they do? They grab the males, they drag them out of the hive, and they kick their lazy butts out. They do. They know they can always make more if they need them. They kick them out. You guys got it figured out. The female worker bee will make thousands of trips to find pollen, nectar, and water, as I said. And finally, when the woman, the girls, their wings are so worn out and tattered from flying thousands of trips back and forth that they can't fly anymore. And you can see them crawling back to the hive with their last load of pollen. They literally work themselves to death. Quite a lesson from the honeybee, huh? So, whether you are a mom or secretary or maybe the CEO of a major automaker, don't let anybody or anything put limits on your achievements. Get an education, dare to dream, be creative, be social, be all you can be to the glory of God. Work hard at whatever God puts into your hands. My third point, you are compassionate. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. In this verse we read, we talked about someone who helps those that are in need. Sometimes we get so busy, and as it's been said over and over again, that you women are always busy. Sometimes we forget to look for those that are in need. Most typically, it's just about having the right mindset and attitude of looking for the opportunity to bless those around you. But I have learned a lot from watching the women in my life, and I see that most females, remember we're talking to the virtue of womanhood here, most women have the virtue of compassion, always looking out for those that need a hand, always having this other sense about what they can do to help somebody out with a kind word, with a nice gesture, with a card, with a letter. My son calls it a woman's love language. I call it the ability to mother. And matter of fact, that Deb Martin alluded to it already, that almost all the women I've ever met have the ability to mother. And whether it's knowing how to put on a Band-Aid, being able to kiss away tears, writing a card or a letter, like I said, at the right time, saying the right word, you guys are really great. Don't disdain that quality or that virtue that you find within yourself. And if the thought comes to you, whatever you do, don't put it off. Go for it. Encourage, love, be there for somebody. Write a card, pick up someone's groceries, visit, have someone over for dinner, make a meal. Whatever it is God lays on your heart, it is a gift that God has given you. Make sure you operate on that. Hallelujah. My fourth point comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 11, 12, and 23. She respects herself, she respects her spouse, and is an encouragement to him. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits amongst the elders of the land. Marriage is in such a complex state in this day and age. So many marriages in society today don't even make it for 30 days, some of them. Half of all marriages fail. And in the Christian community, I believe the count is up to 52 or 53%. We haven't got the market cornered on anything. It's about commitment. And I'm not here to badger women or men on what they need to do to keep their relationship together. But since I am speaking primarily to the women today, there is something that will help a man in the marketplace in this day and age, and that is encouragement. And that is something that he will find no place else. And when he gets it from the one that he loves, a kind word, encouragement to go farther, to try harder, to keep going, it is the thing that can propel him to success. And it'll be a wonderful facet on your relationship. Whether you've been married for 10 days, 10 years, whether you're just dating someone else, encouragement is the way for a woman to propel her man forward. And that is what is alluded to in these verses, that the woman has encouraged her man and that he sits in a position of respect in the gates of elders, those that rule the community. Encouragement is an amazing thing. And I would also say, for men and women, so I'm pointing to myself too, never, never criticize your spouse or your significant other in public. It is an amazing term of endearment that will really give you a lot of mileage in a relationship. Amen? Amen. My fifth point comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, and Titus chapter 2, verse 4. She shares her wisdom with younger women. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. For those of you that have been through life's hard school of knocks, whether you know it or not, you have an awful lot of wisdom to impart to others. And you may be thinking, who would want to hear from me? And the young kids, they don't want to hear anything I got to say. When we grew up, it was all different then. But you would be amazed at the fact that there may be many out there, many young women that are struggling, trying to keep the lid nailed on, make schedules, raise a family, and still be kind and loving and tender, that might like to hear what you have to say. If the Lord lays something on your heart, if he gives you an opportunity, share your heart, but always stop talking before they stop listening. And you may be able to make a difference in someone else's life. My sixth point comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. A healthy trust in the Lord. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In time, even the most beautiful among us will feel the effects of age, disease, sickness, and the beauty that we have now will fade away. And the only beauty that will endure forever is the beauty that you have cultivated on the inside. But you know what? I didn't arrive on the planet last night. And I know all these words paint a picture of a perfect scenario and wonderful loving household and a woman that's running here and there with children and husband that adore her and kind of like the shows you see on TV, the Partridge Family and all that stuff, and that's well and good. But that's not reality, is it? I know that many of you women have poured your hearts and souls into raising family, and perhaps your children have grown up and they've left, and maybe they've departed from the faith that you so tenderly nurtured in their young lives. Maybe you sacrificed and taken out loans, or maybe you've gone without and you've put payments on side or taken loans out so they could have a car, or so they could go to college, or so that their dreams could be fulfilled. And you've cried and you've prayed, and now maybe you don't hear from those children too much anymore. Or maybe there's problems and you don't hear from them at all. Maybe your children are not serving the Lord anymore. Maybe your children despise you and the God that you serve. The same faith that you poured into those relationships back in the day, back years ago, that same faith that is alive in you today, if coupled with passionate prayer, can bring hope. There is never too late to have hope in what God can do in your children's lives. Am I right, Mary Ellen? Amen. I know it's hard. Most of us may have things that we would wish for our children. Success, good health, a rekindled relationship with the Lord. Whatever the case may be, it is never, ever too late to give up hope and stop praying for them. So in this book of Proverbs, chapter 31, we have painted for us the pictures of amazing women, probably 100 amazing women. She has many skills and great compassion. She is an excellent wife and mother. She is a manufacturer. She's an importer, a manager, a realtor, a farmer, a seamstress, an upholsterer, and a merchant. Could any one person be all these? Not likely. But a real woman's strength and dignity is a result of her relationship with the Lord. And if I can have the musicians come back up here again, please. Perhaps maybe you've sat and listened to hundreds, maybe thousands of messages like this. Maybe you've heard of all kind of talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you know the stories about behind them. You heard about creation. You know that Jesus died on the cross. And on the third day that he arose again. And that's wonderful. And you hold these thoughts and ideas to be true. And they exist in your mind. And that's fantastic. But it is not until these thoughts and ideas go from your mind to your heart that you can have a relationship with the living God. And that is called being born again. And that is when life truly begins. That is when the sunrises are brighter. That is when there is joy and peace like you've never known before. So perhaps on this day, you've come here and you've heard these words. And you've seen people in church that are happy and buoyant and joyful. And some women that seem to have it all together. And they're always talking about this Jesus. And maybe you are here today and you say, I've never experienced that before. And I would like to have that Jesus. I would like to have a relationship. I would like to have that kind of strength and power that sees me through the dry days of my life. That I can pray and pray with faith, believing for what God has for my family. If you've never had that relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you this morning. Today is the day. This is the place. And at this altar right here, you can have a life-altering experience with the living God. We can introduce you to someone that died for you 2,000 years ago and is here right now, been going up and down every aisle and every row, visiting every pew. He is here for you today. Maybe you are a woman that is here today and you have children that you've not talked to in a little while or not talked to very much. Maybe you have children that have walked away from the Lord. Maybe you have children that hate you and hate your God. Maybe this is the time to take back lost ground, to draw a line in the sand here and now, and begin to believe in faith and come here and have someone agree with you at this altar that God is going to make a difference in your kids' lives and you can reclaim them for Christ. Today is the day. Now is the time, and this is the place right here. If the musicians would begin to play, If you women would like to make your way forward, whether you'd like to come for salvation, would you like to come forward and have someone pray with you, whether you want to sit there and just worship your God as the musicians sing for us, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day when you can have a victory and that you can have a breakthrough. In the name of Jesus Christ.